Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Y'all's the hate on all of my moves, but now niggas on it. They used to beat me on me and my views, but now niggas on it. I used to tell them I'ma have me a show, but now niggas on it. Her homies on it. Your homies on it. Y'all's the hate on all of my moves, but now niggas on it. They used to beat me on me and my views, but now niggas on it. I used to tell them I had me a show, but now niggas on it. Her homies on it. Your homies on it.
TRP Nation, what is good? We got a special episode for y'all today. We're here on location at the Modish Lifestyle Boutique, 702 Church Lane in Yaden. Come here, pick up y'all gear, put y'all custom orders in, and get fly with one of the most important people in the Philadelphia fashion scene. His artistic expressions through fashion have been seen on some of the biggest and most influential artists in the world, including Future, G Herbo, Lil Baby, and many more. What separates him from the field are his abilities to cut, sew, tailor, and handmade almost every piece that comes out of his collections, and his reliance on high quality materials rather than fast fashion templates. He's been in the game over 10 years and his star is still rising through his innovative style, fashion forward events, and ability to attract the attention of superstars worldwide. TRP Nation, we're here today with my bro, Tay Modish.
Going on,
what you say? What's up?
What's up, y'all?
What's the deal?
Nah, what's going on? Thank you for having me.
You already know. You was on the news this morning?
Yeah. I was on Fox 29 this morning.
So what was that tied to?
It's the store downtown, just open at in the fashion district called Macy's. So they're carrying my product in there too. So basically today was like a little press run for all the designers that was in the store.
That's dope. That's dope. And then I was just with you on Saturday. You had an event at Free Press.
Yeah.
Unveiled your, what was that, the fall collection?
Yeah, this fall winter collection. It's called Black Luxury. So everything was all black and like high quality material.
Yeah. Where does your distinction of, you know, right now we're in a fast fashion world as far as like Fashion Nova, Boohoo, all these online boutiques and stuff like that. What makes you, despite the people's reliance on fast fashion, make you say, I'm still going to hand make stuff, I'm still going to cut and sew, I'm still going to use high quality denim, I'm still going to use high quality leather, lambskins and stuff like that. What makes you just go completely opposite of what everybody else is doing?
Because I have a passion for fashion, so it's like, I take my craft seriously, so you feel me? So every work I do, I want it to be value, you know what I'm saying? I don't want it to just be something you can just grab anywhere.
And right.
I want it to be exclusive at the same time. So that's why I stay in LA.
Absolutely. First and foremost, where does the name Modish come from?
Modish, it means fashionable in German. So like fashionable, stylish, edgy, it all falls underneath Modish. So basically when I started the brand, I was trying to find out something that matched my whole like style of fashion.
Yeah.
So I was just looking for something that means fashionable in like a different language that stand out.
Right.
And that's how I came across that name.
You're not German, right?
No, I'm not German. I'm African. I'm from Liberia.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there is a strong connection to the African diaspora to Germany, and that being a place where, you know, a lot of people, you know, sought refuge.
Germany, France.
Different parts of Europe.
I just wanted to have something different from, you know what I'm saying? If you hear it at the same time, it sounds foreign. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Modish. So tell the audience about your background in the Philly area and some of what your upbringing was like before. You didn't always live here, right?
Nah.
So before you got here.
Before I got here, I was born and raised in Liberia. Like, I'm African. I came from Liberia, and I came here as a refugee in 2000. And at that time, I already knew how to, like make clothes because someone running the family.
Gotcha.
Like, my dad was a tailor back home. So growing up, I grew up around fashion. So
yeah.
Making clothes and all that. Everybody in my family did it. So as a kid growing up, that was like my playground. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's how I picked.
Was it hard to adjust coming to America? At what age did you do that?
I was 11 when I got here.
Okay.
Yep.
Fifth, sixth grade, something like that.
Sixth grade.
It was a difficult adjustment?
Nah, not really. It was just like, you know, when you come here, it's just different from what you're used to back home. So it's like, the only thing people try to make fun of you, the way you talk and like your accent and stuff like that. But besides that, it wasn't like really hard to adjust.
Yo, to that point, How crazy is it for you now, being here, you know, 24, 25 years now, to see from people making fun of you for being African, your accent, and da-da-da-da, and now everybody's embracing African culture, the food, the music, all of that. Like, how much of a trip is that for you to see? Because you saw it when it wasn't cool,
to be African. Now it's like everybody wished they was African. You know what I'm saying? It's like you said, from the music, like, I watched it happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Afro before it started, like, when I used to listen to it, my homie was like, damn, what you listening to?
Yeah.
And then it just took over. You feel what I'm saying? So that's amazing to me to watch that happen.
Yeah, I worked with a lot of African promoters over the years, like, doing parties and stuff when I used to throw parties. DJ Boss Man was somebody that I worked with a lot. Yeah, and he was talking too about Wizkid and Burna Boy and Davido and, like, all of these guys 10, 11 years ago. And we used to bring them here and put them in, like, little small venues, 300, 400, 500 people. And now they selling out arenas. And like, it's crazy to see.
Yeah, the elevation has got crazy. And now Afrobeat is, like, number one.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you learned sewing over there because your father was a tailor.
Right.
So were you working hand in hand with him, or was it just like, oh, you in the house so you see it every day?
Well, my dad passed when I was like young, like a baby type. Okay. You feel what I'm saying? So my older sister, she took over the business. Okay. So she had different tailor working for her. So me growing up, that's where I used to be at, like, as a kid.
Yeah.
That was like my playground, you feel what I'm saying? After school, that's where I'm at, you know what I'm saying, every day. So I picked up from different tailor, and that's how I learned how to make clothes.
So I got a story for you. Before I met you, I met T-Dot. Right. And Tyrone Dixon. And he might have been, like, having a birthday party or something like that, and you made a suit for him. And he was like, yo, see, you like my suit? You like my suit? He's like, yeah, my young boy made this suit, man. You got to get with him. You're like, you want suits, T-shirts, anything you want. Like, he could make anything. He can make anything. And that was his main selling point. And then, you know, shortly after that, I started to see you. And he's like, no, this my young boy's my man, Tay, whatever, whatever. And then I just never stopped seeing you. And then just over the years, you just kept elevating and being here with this person and that person and every concert backstage and stuff like that. How did you, you know, kind of curate how you move in terms of, like, being able to mix and mingle with the Philly nightlife audience, the popular people of the city, and then all of these celebrities? Cause I see you in New York, I see you in DC, I see you in LA, wherever duty calls, I see you dropping off pieces, taking pictures, and making the brand move.
So, but that's when I first started. So, like, that's how I figured out to get my brand out there, as far as, like, on certain people and stuff like that. So I started out, like, moving, going to, like, different city. If I see a concert going on, if I'm plugged in with somebody who, like, connected with an artist, I try to link with them and try to, like, show them my work and see if they can support, you know what I'm saying, what I got going on.
Yeah.
So that's how I was able to, like, get into, like, the whole, like, hip-hop industry and have people wear, like, different artists wearing my stuff like that. Because I know what I got to offer. Like, I know I got good product, and everybody that I meet never, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When they see what I got to offer, it's like, it's no brainer, you know what I'm saying? They actually, like, just catch on to it and start, like, wearing it. So that's,
yeah,
how I try to move around, because being around Philly and Yayton, you can't connect with a lot of different, like, audience, so you got to move around.
Right.
Especially if you're building a certain brand, you want to, like, go to a certain level. You got to travel. You got to move around, try to get different audience to, like, tap into what you got going on. So that's why I try to move around and connect with different people and different artists in different cities.
Yeah. So how hard was it for you when you was first starting and you saying, I'm going to do this brand? You got the name, you got the idea, you already got the talent, but now it's like, how do you connect the product to the audience? What was that whole process like from, like, inception to execution?
I mean, it was just, like, working and having people believe in what you got going on, you know what I'm saying? So it's like being consistent, you know what I'm saying? When I first started, a lot of people, even nowadays, a lot of people don't really know that I really, like, got this going on right here. So,
yeah,
it's like, sometimes I have to do, like, different shows and, like, try to, like, connect with different people just to, like, get that out there to a different audience. So that's how, you know what I'm saying? That's how I decided to figure it out and make it happen.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, a lot of people don't necessarily know, like, you know, the Yaden, like, Delco community. It's like a certain group of guys that's all very well connected. Y'all all know each other. Y'all all support each other. Everybody's doing different stuff and stuff like that. And I pretty much, you know, I've known all of y'all for a long time. But that's how, again, I initially started, you know, seeing them in mass wearing your brand and stuff like that. And it's like, you might go to a party, like, say,
hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Bro, have a party or something, 30 people, you know what I'm saying? I have on, they got the same pieces on because it's early, but it's different colors, it's different, you know what I'm saying? Right, different colors, different sneaks, whatever, whatever, and it made it like a movement to where it's like, it really started grassroots and it grew to where now you got the biggest artists in the world, you know, wearing your product and requesting, you know what I'm saying, product from you.
Right.
Was it always fashion?
Yeah, I had a job before. I mean,
now people sell credit, you know, fix tires. And it's all not fashion. Like, was it always fashion for you as a kid?
Yeah, it was always fashion. Like I played basketball at one point in high school, but you know what I'm saying, after high school, I just didn't really like take it serious after that.
Where do you draw inspiration for the brand and for your personal style from?
Well, sometimes I just go off for like different like texture of like fabric, and like sometimes if I see like the trend going on, I try to incorporate that into my own little style, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like if you look at my pieces, sometimes it's like, all right, I got two different looks. So I got like the high end look and I got like street look, like
exactly
the print, the sweatsuit and stuff, all that. But my the high end look, that's why I try to like fit, like really like put my talent into, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every little piece as I do, I try to incorporate my logo in it. Like, as far as this piece, I got
on. Yeah, like, that's like a hidden logo. You feel me? But it's still a logo.
It's subtle. If you know, you know. You know what I'm saying? But it's a design at the same time.
Yeah.
So, a lot of times, I just give my inspiration. My personal style, like, I got to get off of, like, different, like, sneakers. If I see a certain sneaker, I can, like, I go off of, like, ideas start hitting me, or I can make a crazy outfit to go with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So sometimes that's how I get my inspiration.
I've heard like music producers and stuff say like they see sounds and they see the color in certain sounds and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Is it an element of like that for you with like fabrics and textures and stuff like that, where the fabric or the texture of something like a denim speaks to you in a different way than leather does or cotton does or whatever like that, and that kind of dictates part of the creative process?
Nah, it's just like something I can see was like what's going to be the next trend.
Yeah, before it happened.
Before it happened. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, because I can cut and sew, you feel me? So it's like, I can see what's going to be next, and then I can, like, actually go and make my own style of that.
Yeah.
Make it trendy. So a lot of times, I would have stuff going on, but people won't pay attention to it until it get trendy. But I've been had it. So I be on that type of time.
I mean, I had pieces from you 2014, 2015, the leather sweatshirts and stuff like that, leather joggers and all of that shit. Kanye and them was like the only ones with that. Like, we had it here because we had access to you. You know what I'm saying? But nobody else had that shit. Or you had to go to Fendi or whatever and spend $4,000 for them Jones. But we had Tay, we could spend $500-$600. You know what I mean?
And it's the same thing right now. It's like, if certain trend come out, it's like you won't get it from like a high end designer until like a lot of other people start making it. Cause you know, fashion It's all about followers. You know what I'm saying? Whenever something is trending, everybody try to follow the same route.
Yeah, everybody want a piece of it. You know what I'm saying? Because of your ability to tailor and cut and sew, do you ever have you ever gotten into like maybe like ghost producing other people's lines or they samples or they tech packs and stuff like that? Do people come to you and be like, yo, I want a shirt like this, whatever, whatever, and they're asking you to help them establish that and paying you to do stuff like that?
Yeah, people ask me all the time, but I did it for certain people. But not, you know what I'm saying? I try, because I'm still working on my, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
I try not to get into that, you know what I'm saying? I just focus on my product right now. So yeah. I try not to take a lot of jobs like that. But if I, like, really fuck with what you got going on, as far as, like, yeah, your fashion-wise, yeah, I don't mind helping you.
Right. Go ahead, man.
If you want to continue, I want to talk about the history of the brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when you started this, how do you start a fashion line? Like, I'm starting my own line. Like, what do you start with?
I mean, now if you, like, just, like, starting out, me when I started, because I already knew how to sew, and then at that time I was working at the same time, so it's like, I had money to, like, buy, like, fabric and stuff like that, and then just started making different pieces and putting it on the market.
Do you start with, like, summer wear? Winter, like, what was it that made? What was it that you started with? Because he was talking about the leather joggers.
I started, that's when, I don't know if you remember when everybody wearing the cheetah print, like, t-shirts and stuff like that. So I started when I really started my brand. That's when I started. It was like t-shirts.
Okay.
And then t-shirts, hoodies, and stuff like that. But if you start a fashion brand, it don't matter on like the season. You know what I'm saying? It's just all about knowing the different steps you need to take to start a fashion brand, if I'm saying.
I feel that.
What type of barriers to entry do you face as a young black person, a young African, gentleman, trying to, you know, crack the code on fashion? Because there's nothing that these big fashion houses can do that you can't do other than mass produce and, you know, handle distribution or whatever like that. But what type of barriers to entry or, like, occupational hazards do you face trying to, like, scale and take Modish to the next level?
It's just having the backing these big corporations don't have. You know what I'm saying? That's, like, the big thing right there. So yeah, it's, like, they can do certain things. They can get somebody to, like, promote their brand and pay them a certain amount of money. But as somebody like me, we don't have that type of backing or that type of money to put behind it, we don't have the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So that's like the main thing for me.
Yeah. But to the contrary, you have situations where like a Future will have his Lanvin, his clothing line premiere, and he's wearing one of your pieces.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The pinnacle of his moment in fashion, he wants to represent you and your brand to the point where I got motherfuckers calling me like, oh, you would tell him we need them purple bucket hats and them, you know what I'm saying? Because they saw Pluto with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
How did that come about?
From, like I said, just being around, connecting with the right people. So it's like somebody in his camp had one of my pieces on and he asked about it. And then they hit me up. They said, bro, like your stuff. And then that's how that came about. And then once I linked up with them, they told me what he liked, and then I just ended up making the bucket hats for him. You know what I'm saying? And then
once he is a bucket hat, dude. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
So it's like he liked the whole situation. He liked how it fit, and then that's how that happened.
Yeah, I was told that he ordered like a whole line of pieces, hats and stuff that he gonna wear during this tour that's coming up.
Well, I don't know if they're for the tour, but I guess he said he wanted that to be like his
look, signature, you know, yeah, yeah.
Because he wanted different colors in different, all different colors, you know what I'm saying? To match different outfits and stuff like that.
I've had like one bucket hat in my life.
So I had a couple, I had about six.
Remember like the bucket hat era, like the early 2000s? I had one, I didn't like the way it looked.
I know.
Yeah. King O'Dan is funny.
You gotta get a certain fit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, nah. Just when you a large man, bucket hat ain't.
So over the last few years, like you have Gucci made some buckets, like some nylons and stuff like that. Prada, they had the best ones or whatever. They joined was like more straight down stuff like that. What makes you say, all right, cool, y'all doing the buckets, but I'm gonna do this high end fabric and take it to a whole nother level?
Cause I don't wanna. I want to just do, like I said, I don't want to just do nothing regular. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And on a lower level. And that's the another thing. If some of these artists, they know what quality is. And that's where it attracts them to my product. So if they see a leather bucket hat and then they know the type of quality it is, they're not going to turn it down. You feel what I'm saying? So it's all about putting like quality in your work. If I was doing like a cheap fabric or something that's not like luxury, they won't be, you know what I'm saying, attractive.
Exactly.
So that's why I take that route.
So a lot of these pieces are custom, you know, tailor made to the artist specific stuff that they requesting, whatever. But if somebody wanted to buy that, what's your retail price point for something like that?
Well, if you getting like a regular sweatsuit, sometimes it's like from 300 and up type. You know what I'm saying? So it depends on the style.
But style, material, and all of that.
If you getting like the leather outfit, if you get some leather pants, sometimes it depends on your size too, because you know it's like
more material, more labor. Yeah.
So like $800 for some leather pants, jagged, be like $1,200. You know what I'm saying? Prices like that. Leather
so two shirt. Bucks to be top and bottom leather, Tate Modish.
Then like we at $3,500.
And then like the buckets, like a leather bucket or whatever. Or
the leather bucket is like $250, $300.
Yeah.
Depends on like the different like type of material I'm using.
Yeah. So actual real luxury. Do you ever get any like with black folks, man?
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Getting like your primary demographic. It's tough, man. It's a hard fucking sell because they'll beat your door down to try to buy stuff, da da da. And then it's like they find out the price point. Now they want to haggle and try to negotiate and stuff like that. Do you ever have like your price point being an issue with, you know, your customer base or whatever, or new customers specifically?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, some people come in here, they're like, they don't know the certain prices. So when they ask, you know what I'm saying, when I tell them the price, like some people know what it is, but
yeah.
They be like, like they'd be, you know what I'm saying, they'd shy away from
a little sticker shot.
Yeah, I thought that joint was free.
Right. So like I'd be like $300 for a sweatshirt. We'd be like, damn, $300. You know what I'm saying? I get that a lot, but certain people who respect what I got going on,
yeah,
don't have no problem paying that. You know what I'm saying?
But like I look at these like these tape logo sweatsuits and stuff like that. Every brand has these or whatever over the years. It's like a staple piece. But you buy it from Givenchy, that shit is $4,000. It's $4. You know what I'm saying? So to pay you, even if it's $600,
right?
I look at it like as somebody
the
that Gucci buys.
The Gucci ones last year was $5,200.
Yeah, yeah, see what I'm saying? Like, it's, so this shit be not a game. Like when you really starting to get into clothes and high fashion and stuff like that, and then only for you to, you know, buy the Gucci one or whatever, and then you go somewhere in Hollywood or New York or Miami, and 19, four niggas got it on.
Everybody got the same thing on. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes it's all about, you know what I'm saying? We'll speak value, you feel me?
Yeah.
If you see Gucci, you know that's cause. If you see Louis, you know that cause. So people are going to go after that, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. How did you connect with G Herbo?
Just from, like, being around, too, you feel me? I was in L.A. one time. We was at, a celebrity basketball game. He was there. I just, like introduced myself to him, told him what I did. And then after that, I guess he seen somebody else, like, wearing my piece.
Yeah.
And then we just connect. I already had his number, and I was in L.A. I hit him up. I'm like, yo, I'm out here. Just link up so I can show you some pieces.
Yeah.
And that's it. After that, once he seen what I had, he just fell in love with the Modish lifestyle.
Yeah, I see him wearing your stuff probably more than anybody. Like,
yeah.
Constant.
Yeah, he really liked the style. So he called me every time he got something going on.
Yeah.
He called me for an outfit.
You styled him for the tour that he did with Future, right? The one big party tour?
Yeah. He called me up for that. He's just like, yo, bro, I need you to make me 10 different looks. You know what I'm saying? We going on tour. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, all right, I bet. Man,
that's fire.
Yeah, that's dope as shit.
That's fire. Lil Baby is somebody who's also, you know, worn a lot of your stuff over the years. Is that like a personal relationship? Like, you could contact him, call him, or somebody in his camp? Or is it just like he saw your stuff and he just bought it and then you just looked up one day and he was wearing it?
No, it was just, I know somebody in his camp.
Gotcha.
And then, just like I said, it's just from being around the same way. Like, I was in Atlanta and then I met one of his peoples in his camp and then he was just like, yo, I already follow you on the gram. I fuck with your stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I'm trying to link with y'all. I'm trying to see what's up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Put baby and some, you know what I'm saying? So at the first time we met, that was it right there. I got his number. And then after that, there was someone else in that. Matter of fact, it was LA.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I pulled up there. And then he grabbed some stuff, like the leather piece he had on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then after that, that was basically what it was.
Has it been anybody that you saw wearing Modish that shocked you? Or you was like, how the fuck you get that? Or how, was this like a, you didn't necessarily understand the connection. Maybe somebody that's not necessarily in the urban world or whatever, but still ended up with some of your stuff on.
Pretty much everybody that had my stuff on, like, it wasn't nothing shocking because either I already connected with them.
That's what I'm saying, he linked with everybody.
You know what I'm saying? Either I already connected with them or I had somebody else, like, connect with them like that. Like,
yeah.
I ain't really, like, see nobody and it was, like, shocking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like seeing people, like different artists, pay attention to what I got going on. That's just be the shocking part about it.
Yeah.
How long has the store been here?
Like 6 years now.
Interesting. I used to get my hair cut on this block when I was a young boy. Is the cutting edge still out there?
Yeah, right here?
Yeah. I used to get my hair like when I was a young boy. Yeah.
Now, I know this is your neighborhood, but what made you say, like, I'm going to put the store here versus like, in the fashion district or downtown somewhere? I see people opening up boutiques and, you know, King of Prussia and stuff like that. What made you say, I'm a do it grassroots here in the neighborhood around the people that, you know, really supported the brand and helped it get off the ground?
I mean, this where I'm comfortable at. And then, like you said, I used to walk down this block and go to school. So when I found the opportunity of having my store in the county,
yeah,
and then I couldn't get a store where I really wanted it, which was South Street.
So gotcha.
I just like decided to open the store here.
Shit, now South Street probably begging you to try to come down there. Like, South Street is decimated right now.
Saying,
like,
God working mysterious ways. He looked out for you.
Yeah, so I just decided to open up the store right here.
What are your takes on like brick and mortar business versus online business? As like fashion is changing and stuff, online sales are up across the board for pretty much everybody. You got big retailers like Nordstrom, Macy's, closing stores and stuff like that. What's your take on having a brick and mortar store versus like an online presence, or do the two kind of support one another?
I mean, sometimes all about what you're selling to. So it's like sometimes I have a lot of pieces that I don't have online.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? So a lot of my customers come inside, so they want to like try the pieces on, see how it fit. And then like my take on that is all, like I said, it's all about what kind of product you're selling. And then sometimes online too, again, it's like it's a lot of fraudulent stuff online.
Facts.
Too,
speak on it.
So like it's a lot of, you would get a lot of order, but maybe you're gonna get like 20% of that gonna be like some fraudulent
or chargebacks or whatever. Back, yeah,
you know what I'm that you have to go through it.
Hey,
that
really
take that money back from you. You know what I'm saying? Damn. So it's like I'd rather like in the store, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
like, I can touch my customers too.
Right. Do you have any aspiration to open up stores in any other locations, whether it be somewhere else around the Philly area, in another city, whatever like that?
Yeah, I wanna open up a store downtown somewhere, you know what I'm saying? And probably like in like Atlanta or like LA.
Yeah.
I wanna have like my own store though, you know what I'm saying? Not like my brand is somebody else's store. So it's like Atlanta, LA, I wanna have a store out there.
Yeah. Something I think that'd be dope that we could try to help facilitate is with this new Sixers arena. Mm-hmm. They're trying to have 40% minority, you know, vendors and operators and stuff in there. I think it'd be crazy as hell to see a Modish boutique at 76th Place in 6 or 7 years. I think that's the goal.
Shit,
you know what I'm saying? That's on the jumbotron for real. Where it's like, because now you have the NBA influence of players, you know, coming through this new state of the art arena, and you know your brand is present. So now you're synonymous with, you know, the team and stuff right. Like that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's something that we could help facilitate. You know, with our relationships with Dave Edelman, Dave Gold, mm-hmm. stuff like that. You know, we still got a lot of hurdles.
we got a lot of hurdles
as far as like trying to at least get the approval. But right. I think that, you know, I speak it up because I believe in what they're doing as an organization. They've supported us. They've given us unprecedented access to, you know, a lot of different things that they got going on and information and stuff. But I think that, you know, for a lot of people that have brands in Philly, that should be the goal. Like 2031, y'all need a presence in, you know, in that new arena downtown.
Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah.
We ask everybody this that does fashion. What was your favorite era of fashion?
My favorite era is like, it's my era. You know what I'm saying? Like, because everything I make, because usually I always wear my stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like,
you're super brand loyal. I see a lot of people that got clothing lines and I be confused because like,
I be confused myself. Yeah.
Like, they got on everything but they own
you got,
shit.
You got a whole clothing brand out here and you just Gucci down and this and that.
Yeah, it don't be making sense. Like, I remember 50 Cent said, he told this story a bunch of times. He said he was at a meeting for G-Unit or whatever. He said, Tony Ayo, Lloyd Banks, Young Buck, in D-Tay or whatever, which is Buck Man.
He said it was all of them.
Yeah, all of them. He said, I look around, he said, I look under the table, Gucci, Nike.
And 50 had a check.
Fendi.
50 said he had a check from Reebok for $185,000 for everybody there, and they all showed up with Gucci, Reebok, Louis, Prada.
Nobody's wearing G-Unit.
He said, you got on Gucci? You got on Louis?
You don't got your own brand on. Yeah. That's crazy.
He's like, none of us showed up in Reebok. He's like, yeah, that's real. Like,
yeah, I said my era, because it's like, before I was making clothes, I was like, the 2000, you feel me?
Yeah. So I hated the 2000 era. That shit was baggy, big as shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Hated that era, man. All my pictures from the 2000s look like trash.
Look crazy, right?
We was kings in the 2000s. What we did? None of this shit was tight. Everybody wanted to be us.
Wearing a size 40.
I remember going to Tory's. All the 3 and 4Xs going. You're like, God damn. Nigga, Chad size. Come there and get the 3.
Clear the hole. Cop the top shelf.
We were buying them sizes. Size small, wearing 4X.
Oh, my homie was a little nigga. That nigga pulled out 44 waist jeans.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So, yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I did that before.
Need two belts. Dog. Need two belts and suspenders.
Early 2000s was crazy, dog.
Yeah, man. Every time my homie Rick got all our throwback pictures from that era because we went to high school and college together, I'd be looking at him. I'm like, yo, take this shit down, nigga. Like, we look crazy.
That's funny.
We look crazy. Right now, fashion is about silhouettes. People have more and structure. A lot of fashion houses have moved away from streetwear. Like Louis Vuitton completely did an about face on streetwear. Now it's more so like workwear, cowboy inspired stuff.
Yeah, Pharrell said, I got something.
Yeah. You know, flare leg jeans, short cut crop jackets and stuff like that. What do you think of the current state of fashion? And then what do you think about the next trends what do you think are the next trends? And what are the next trends that you're going to introduce?
But like the trend that going on right now, you just like said it, is like basically like crop and like flare pants.
Yeah.
I think that's going to like stay around for a little bit.
I think so too.
It just started.
And if photographs yet. Very well.
I love the flared pant look.
Yeah.
I can't do it, but I love the way it looks.
Yeah, like it, on camera, on video, you see fashion shows and shit. I'm like, that great. Shit look
nah,
good.
It looked like some drippy.
Yeah,
and then Shay walked in the other day. He had some flared jeans. I was like, that should be. I like it, but I just
you can't do it.
I need the whole thing flared. Like the whole leg got a flare. You know what I'm saying? Like yeah, but I like the way that shit look. That shit is dope. And the sweatpants now are even flared.
Like, yeah,
I was looking at the Jones in the car. I'm like, I like the sweatpants with the flip, but I can't do it. Like,
so far, I think obviously your Jones are fire. Like these right here, crazy.
Yeah, those are nuts.
Gallery department had probably like the best flare sweatpants that I've seen as far as like an actual like, you know, a bigger, broader like fashion brand with the paint splatters and the different texture sweats and stuff like that. They kind of like set that off
Everybody started wanting to do the same thing because that's what was selling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody wanted it. And it was hot on the market. So a lot of other brands started doing the same thing.
So what do you think is, so we talked about what's going on now. What do you think is like, is next? Like if you was like guessing, like, or, you know, because you, like you say, you be on a lot of the trends before they happen. Mm-hmm. Where do you think they're going to go next? Even though this stuff going to be around a while, let's say 5 years from now, like, are we back wearing neons and shit? Like 88, like what we doing in 2029?
Nah, 4X is coming back.
Yeah, basically that's what I'm about to say. Like it's going to keep getting baggier and baggier. So yeah. We're going to go back to like, at in 2000. You feel what I'm saying? It's gonna be like everything gonna be baggy. So
it's gonna be starter jackets, but it's gonna be Balenciaga starter jackets. Yeah.
Like, that's why everything Balenciaga right now is like baggy. Baggy stuff.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's what I want to show you. I want to show you an image and tell me what you think about it. Actually, this is what Wale had on at the Wale Mania joint or whatever like that. It was a Balenciaga sweatsuit, and I thought it was hard. But just from a fashion, like literal a fashion guy perspective, I want to know what you think about this. If my phone is working in here, we in Delco, it may or may not work. But he had on this white Balenci sweatsuit, and I just thought it was like hard as fuck. No, took it down. All right. That's gone. But it was like a regular, like a jogging suit, but the cut of it was very structured. It was nylon, didn't look like nylon because of how they cut it up. And then they had the flare leg pants too. That shit was hard as fuck.
Yeah, everything going, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the look right now, you know what I'm saying? And that's the look everybody starting to like, you know what I'm saying? Any people that wasn't into it, once you go flares, like, you don't want to go back to skinny pants. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I got to take your word for it.
Right? You know what I'm saying? No, that's how it usually be, because it's some people coming here that never, like, wool sweat, like, flare sweatpants, mm-hmm. and when they grab a pair of mine, it's like, they're like, yo, you got more, you know what I'm saying? They want to keep wearing the same, you know, style, you feel me?
Do you do, like, custom stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to get you to do me, I'm going to try it, you know what I'm saying?
If you need something custom made, I do that.
I for sure, I'm looking around, I definitely need something custom, like, for sure. Let me ask you this, how long does stuff like that take? Like, if you were doing, like you say, you do a pair of pants and a jacket or something, how long does something like that take?
I'd probably tell him a week, you know what I'm saying? Like, just to get myself time, you know what I'm saying? But I don't like...
But that's crazy turnaround, though, a week.
Yeah, if, for instance, today I want to, like, make a whole set, I can, you know what I'm saying? I can do that.
But In a day?
Yeah, it would be, like, nonstop, though.
I feel you.
I'll be behind a sewing machine all day.
And that come with a rush fee, you know what I'm saying? So
do you still do suits?
No, I won't get into that. Like, I just... Yeah, because it's time consuming.
Yeah, no, suits is a whole different ballgame. So yeah. I just stick to
what I got going on. I'm trying to find this goddamn sweatsuit.
The picture is going, Chad.
I get a lot of requests for that. Like, people ask
for suits?
Make suits. I'd be like, I don't make suits.
Yeah, I mean, now that you're doing, like, high-end fashion and stuff like that, you're not going to do it. Yeah, it makes sense. You got anything else over there?
Yeah. So what's next? You know, for you, like, what's the next year look like? The next 3 years? Like, what's the future of Modish?
I mean, just like right now, I'm just trying to, like I said, like, get my brand on a, like, a certain level. You know what I'm saying? So in the next year, I can, like, probably be in, like, a high end store, or have my own store in another city or, like, downtown somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's the goal for right now.
Oh, this it was going to drive me crazy. That was the sweatsuit. But it's Balenciaga. It's a white joint. But you see the fullness in, like, you know, the pants and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the look right now.
Yeah.
That's the look everybody going for. Like, I said, like, next year around this time, you're going to see a lot of those type of looks.
Yeah. A resource that we had in Philly that we don't have no more was fucking Barney's Co-op. They closed down. Because I could have absolutely... They broke a lot of brands. They broke RTA. Mm-hmm. They broke Mike Amiri. They broke Acne Studios. Over and over and over again. They, you know, they broke brands. And they took chances on brands because they had, you know, 10 or 12 co-ops or whatever around the country. It didn't really cause them no risk or whatever to buy 400 pieces of, you know what I'm saying, right, each thing, whatever each they thing. Do, and they broke a lot of brands in the process. How easy or difficult do you think it will be able to break into, like, another high fashion setting? Like, if Saks is supposed to relaunch Barney's, or in a Saks, a Neiman Marcus, whatever, Nordstrom, with this, the landscape of, like, you know, fashion kind of changing.
I mean, I think it's probably all about your presentation and what you already did.
Yeah.
So, like, as far as, like, who wearing your stuff, like, yourselves, like, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So they're going, you know, that places like that, they look into stuff like that to see, like, all right, if he, like, really worth putting the stuff in here.
Right.
So it's, like, basically, like, how you present yourself.
We were having a big argument before we started. Is this a man's or a woman's shirt?
It's a man's shirt.
Wow.
I told you.
That's an extra small.
No, that's the the drip.
You're talking about the size. Yeah. No, that's just the size. I got other sizes.
No, I'm just saying.
But how many, tell him, how many extra smalls do you sell out of your inventory to men? A good amount, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty good amount. Because there's some people that, especially like polo shirt, they want to like fit it. So it's like.
Like a bulletproof vest.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of
Kevlar.
A lot of small guys come shop for me.
Yeah, I just came. I'm like, more so telling. I can't believe that a man can fit that. Like that, it just seems so small.
Yeah, it's a lot of 28 waist community out here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a different landscape, man. Niggas are super fit.
Yeah, and plus I don't order like a whole bunch of sizes like that, so it just be like a little. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I like that gray one with the white collar. That shit is all.
So like something like that, like, all right, so you got these polos, four different colors or whatever. How many of each piece would you do to where it's like, all right, I'm going to keep this limited, exclusive. And would that go to the website or would you just keep it in store only?
The ones I got right now, they're on the website and they're in the store.
So okay.
When I did it, it was like 100 of each color.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's
super limited.
Usually that's how I start my... If I'm dropping some or getting some mass production,
yeah,
usually like 100 a piece.
Gotcha.
Because I don't go like super crazy. I just do a certain amount.
That gotcha.
I
can get rid of. Before we go, what advice would you give somebody that's looking to start a clothing line, as far as like, you know, how to handle their structure, their business, where to find support from, resources? What type of information would you give somebody that's say 18 or 19 and they got this idea, but they don't know how to go about it as far as executing the line?
Bro, you probably just got to study the business, you know what I'm saying? And then you got to like stay true to yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like, try not to like pay attention to like where everybody else going on. Just like focus on like your idea and just run with it. Cause a lot of time when you focus on other stuff, you try to mimic what other.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's. People got
going on. Absolutely.
So just sit true to yourself and just keep pushing.
Words to live by, words to grow on, man, from somebody that's already doing it on a high level. Like I said, and during the course of the interview, I seen this guy's come up from, you know, he was custom making stuff for party promoters, and now, you know, he one of the biggest in the game, man. And, you know, he's still growing, and a testament to the consistency of being focused, having a goal, and operating with the end in mind, man, because I don't think you've gotten probably 1/100th of what you're going to ultimately get, you know, out of this fashion game and this entertainment game and all of that, because you're still an untapped resource, man.
Yeah, really.
Way more people don't know about you than do know about you, and you got some big heavy hitters that do know about you.
Yeah. So it takes time. You know what I'm saying? That's why you got to keep working, keep grinding, keep connecting with different folks. I mean, yeah. One day, everybody gonna know who moved these shit.
Absolutely.
You know, I wanna work with you and do something. I can't do leather pants, but I like those pants. I like a lot.
Yeah, it's not just leather. I do denim. You know what I'm saying? Sweatpants. You know what I'm saying? Whatever pants you want.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Want some like velvet pants? I do that too.
Oh no, I ain't not the velvet.
Really take it back to the 90s. Get you the velour flare legs. Right. You know?
Yo, the velour flare legs would be crazy. Yeah.
I need 10%. Y'all heard it here first. You know what I'm saying? Y'all see Tay with hilarious. The velour flares.
Oh, this has been dope, though.
We wish you much more success, man. We definitely want to have you back. You know, we definitely want to do some vlog type stuff with you going forward. You know what I'm saying? When you have some more events and your big fashion shows and all of that shit, man. But we just wanted to do this interview to let you know that we fuck with you, we support you, and you're extremely talented. Shout out my bro Chick, who's my my Delco liaison. He plugs all of the Delco interviews. He be calling me like, yo, what you think about this? Yeah. Do this make sense? Yo, I just got off work. I just talked to this nigga.
Yeah, that's my guy right there. Yeah, he be on point with that.
Yeah, he's like the Ari Gold of Delco. You know what I'm saying? He make a lot of shit happen. for sure. Where can everybody like find you, contact you, the website? You know, they want custom orders. What they got to do to tap in with you?
I'm on Instagram, like Tay_Modish, and then the business page is Modish Clothing Company. And then my stores is at, it's on Church Lane, 702 Church Lane, Yadin, PA. So if you want to like cop up, you can pull up to the store. The website is shopmodish.com if you want to go online and check out what I got going on.
Dope, man.
Yeah, man, really.
TRPE, Tate Modish, we out of here.
Peace.
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles? And a breakfast cutoff. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.